Tiggity-boo.
Good evening, one and all. I know, already a week into March, and here we are, me, Barry Eva, on New Visions Radio with another book and a chat. I was just talking to my guest before we started. Do you know, end of March, I've done 1,700 shows. Just shows you what happens when I stop writing and try to do a show for the first time, because the people who ran the shows I was guests on, I thought, well, I could do a bit better than that. You know, some of them were the equivalent of watching paint dry on a radio, you know. And so, yes, that was 13 years ago. The book, second book in my series, is still the same place as it was. And now I've done 1,700 of these, and I think I'm up to about 300 of one music show and about 200 of another music show. So it keeps me busy, you know, in my old age, it keeps me going. Well, my guest today, we talk about this, about having the gene, the sort of gene that makes you the creative type gene, isn't it? Well, my guest, she has been basically writing all her working life. I know. It's just that she's gone the wrong way round to producing this wonderful new fiction novel, because, well, Wendy, I mean, she's great. I mean, she's got such wonderful titles she's produced, like Power and Bulk Engineering and Metal Architecture. You know, wonderful, wonderful titles of books. And then she's gone into plays and stuff like that. And finally, after all sorts of other bits and pieces along the way, she's written, I think it's her first full-length fictional novel. But we'll find out, haven't we? Because I better introduce her, because on the show today, I have the one and only Ruth Stevens. Hi, Ruth. How are you doing?
Hello, Barry. I'm doing great, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
We just had a dress rehearsal last night. I called up Ruth accidentally last night. I got my Tuesdays and Wednesdays muddled up, but she is here, and you know, at least I knew I had the right number to call. But as I said, I mean, never mind before we get to your working life, but before that, were you one of these wonderful people, as soon as you could hold a crayon, was creating little stories?
I was, but not with a crayon or even a pencil. You know, I always liked to use a keyboard. And as a little girl, I remember I taught myself how to type. And I would sit at the typewriter, and I've never liked writing in longhand. I didn't like it then, and I can remember going back to...
One of my sisters having what I thought was a typewriter, where you had a little dial that you turned round to each letter and then press this great big thing down to make it. It used to take you, yeah, about like 10 minutes to write, to do one word, but that's the nearest I got.
I've never had one of those.
Fisher Price or something. It's wonderful. You have children's type sort of thing. But as I said in the write-up, you've in your sort of working life, you've been writing all the time with various bits and pieces.
I have, but just to set the record straight, those were not books. With the, you know, those scintillating titles you mentioned, like Powder and Bulk Engineering, those are trade and professional publications. And so I had a career in public relations and advertising, and I was writing articles and press releases and ads and things like that for all kinds of publications, and, you know, for clients targeting them. And so it wasn't until I really finally retired from my day job that I said, okay, I want to write something a little more creative.
Yeah, I know you sort of then you did your creative writing, but you went into the theater part of it, didn't you?
Well, so when I retired, I decided that the first thing I was going to try writing was a play, because I just always loved theater all my life. And I felt more comfortable writing dialogue. I didn't know if I could write a novel, quite honestly. So I started with a play, which was called Stage 7. It became my novel, but it began as a stage play and was actually performed.
Did you find, because I mean, majority of people go from writing novels to, you know, to putting it to a stage play type format. Though I have had quite a few quite well-known people have gone the other, the other way, for want of a better word. And did you find it, when it came to writing it into a book, into a fictional sort of book thing, that it was easier or harder, the fact that you had to then sort of, if you like, paint the picture with words, whereas, people just looked at the set and saw stuff, which was easier for you?
Well, I guess the play was easier because it was just one kind of writing. It was all dialogue, and it's a whole lot shorter than a novel. but the novel was relatively easy to come after the play because it was like I had a 100-page
I,
outline to
when
work
I
from.
read that, I thought, oh, that's a big outline. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, a
Did
very big
you
outline. But
change it?
you know,
Sorry,
I
did you
had to add a
change it
lot.
at all when you wrote it to the book? I mean, did you sort of think, well, I remember that scene. I think I could make that a bit better, when I do the book.
A bit. The basic story stayed the same, but I had to add characters. I had to add a lot
All
of
right, yeah,
backstory. I
true.
had to add more scenes, so you know, some plots and things like that. So, you know, some things had to change to fit the expansion, but it's the same story
Okay.
overall, and a lot of the dialogue is the
Okay, well,
same.
that's good, because I wasn't sure about whether you'd have to change a lot of that. I can't try to remember the person who came on the show who did his plays into books. He wrote Cocktail. That was one of them, but he wrote quite a few, and I can't remember. Woods something? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anyway, your book, Stage 7, same title as the play, is it?
Yes, it is. Same
Okay, and
title.
without giving too much away, give us a bit of an outline of it.
Sure. So, Barbara, the main character, is part of the sandwich generation, which means she's a single mom who is raising a teenage daughter, and she's also the caregiver for her mother,
Oh,
who has
okay, yeah.
Alzheimer's. And so she's got a lot on her plate, but she's kind, she's sweet, a bit of a control freak. You know, she's the sort who manages her life, you know, by creating lists and spreadsheets for everything. So at the beginning of the book, she meets an older man named Jack at a memory care facility where she's going every day to visit her mom, and he's going to visit his wife, who has very advanced dementia. And an attraction grows between Barbara and Jack. And while that's going on, Barbara's daughter develops a crush on Jack's grandson. So, with these romantic events unfolding, Barbara's well-organized existence pretty much goes out the window. And that's where all the conflict and excitement comes from. So it's a story about two families coping with Alzheimer's, but it's really more a story about love and the different types of love that we can experience
Yeah,
in
because
our lives.
obviously, with what Barbara has to go through, you've got the family pulls, you've got friends, you've got relation, you've got the illness side with the Alzheimer's and everything. She's got a l lot of being pulled in a lot of directions there.
She is pulled in a lot of directions, and she has an older sister, Vicky, who is not much help at all. Vicky leaves it all to Barbara to take care of, and she's very manipulative and selfish, and so a lot of the conflict comes from the relationship with the sister, which a lot of people seem to find relatable because, you know, if you're caring for a parent who, whether they have dementia or anybody who can't, you know, can't be on their own anymore. There's often an unequal distribution of
Yes,
care, you know, by there's a the burden of care tends to fall on one more than the
I
others.
could totally relate
So.
to that on my wife's side when I first came to this country and stuff we had to go through and stuff like that. So I can relate to that. From what you said then, you've had a lot of feedback relating to, the trials and tribulations that this poor woman has to go through.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have to deal with these kind of issues, especially nowadays. So yeah, I do get a lot of feedback from readers who say, "Oh, yeah, that's just like what happened to me," or you know, my sister did such and such just like Vicky. You know, there's quite a bit of
And then, of
that.
course, the actual relationships between Jack and Barbara, there's lots of guilt, perhaps, behind what they're with each other, and what they're sort of finding about each other, and what their lives have got going on as well.
Right, potentially, but I don't
No,
want to say too much
potential,
about
sorry.
that. But Jack's wife is very late stage. She doesn't recognize him. She doesn't speak or respond or anything like that. So that makes it, I think, a little bit more palatable for most readers. You know, I think that I've had a few readers who, because of their personal beliefs or their religious beliefs, they just say, "Oh, well, he's married. That's it." But there's a lot of support for
Right,
Barbara and Jack
I
to
can
get
imagine.
together.
When it was a, I mean, when it was a play, whereabouts? I mean, I forgot. I read something, but you put it on somewhere,
Well, you'll believe it or not, it was Punta Banda, Mexico. And that's
right.
Ensenada, basically. And there is a huge expat community there. I think a couple of
Oh,
hundred
really?
thousand people. And they have an English language theater that has been around for decades, the Gertrude Perlman Theater. They do only English language productions. And that was where they put on the play. And there were four performances. And it was pretty exciting to see the characters come to life and to watch the audiences
Right.
watching the
And
work.
have you had anybody who saw the play and has now read the book?
Oh yeah.
And
Yeah,
I just wondered
definitely.
what they thought about, about this, read the book after they'd seen the play, because it's good if they, did they sort of pick up and say, "Oh, crikey, yeah, this is, you've made it a lot. I now understand stuff perhaps I didn't in the play," or something like that.
A bit of that. I think if they liked the play, well, presumably they weren't going to read the book unless they did like the play, right? But I think that, you know, they liked the book and they enjoyed learning more about, as I said, there's more backstory. There are more flashbacks to what happened between Jack and his wife Helen before she had Alzheimer's and also in the earlier phases of the disease. And so I think people appreciated being able to develop the story that way.
Okay, and it's not the only play you've written, is it?
No, I wrote another play which has not been performed, unfortunately. But really, after stage seven, after it was performed, I started turning my attention to novel writing, which turned out to be a good move because, of course, in 2020 we had this thing called a
Right.
pandemic, and all the theaters shut down, and it was near impossible to get a play produced before that. But it's become even exponentially harder, with a lot of theaters that closed their doors
Right.
permanently, and others that have a backlog of materials. You've probably seen there are theaters right now that are just now doing productions they had planned to do in 2020 or
Yeah, there's definitely
2021.
a it's definitely a sort of almost like a backlog coming through of stuff that
Yeah.
no, we always watch Christmas Carol every Christmas at Hartford here in Connecticut, and haven't seen it for 4 years now, 3 years now, so yeah,
Well,
gonna have
there
to
you
have that.
go.
One thing before I go back to talking about the book, your spare time, right? Yeah, normal stuff,
Right.
travel, hiking, wine tasting, musicals, movies, stuff like that. Hip hop dance classes. That's the question I got for you.
Yes.
The question
What's the
is,
question?
what does that entail for you?
I get in the car, I go to the health club, and I
Okay.
dance. And I've been doing that kind of class for quite a long time, and I just love it. And there are people who are, I won't say my age, but I will say there are people who are older
Really?
than I am, in some of these classes. I've been to classes where you have people from 15 to 80, without exaggeration, in the same
Right,
class.
wow.
So it's pretty cool, and everybody
That's
had a
the
great
important
time.
thing. That's definitely the important thing. The writing style, I've read, some reviews and that, and it's almost like you, if it motivates you, you want to share that with the reader, and it has the sort of happy side and the sad side and everything like that. Is it just is that what you want to sort of wanted to bring out, or is it just how it sort of comes?
That's what I wanted to bring out. I've always loved comedy and humor, but not
Right.
slapstick or farce as much as, the kind of you're watching a play or a movie and you're laughing, but there's also a
Yeah.
lump in your throat or, you're tearing up a little bit. I've always loved that kind of thing, and that was what I was going for, kind of a funny, sad tone. And that Barbara has a kind of self-deprecating sense of humor. And there are some very funny parts in the book, and which are even funnier in the play because, because it's
Right,
being acted out
yeah.
live. But there is a lot of humor in it, and there's
I
sadness
think
too.
one of the funniest is the wrong word, but one of the things I remember definitely was two. First off, is I remember being at the airport and reading my one of my books, and sitting there and laughing at it at some of the bits, and thinking, I wrote it. Why am I laughing at it? And the other thing is, I used to write sort of short romance stories, and I did a year. I narrated them on like local public access TV. It'd come on like Mr. Rogers, and they were like 10, 15 minutes read, ideal for a sort of spot on there. And there was a couple. I got quite choked up reading them, and I think, why are you getting upset? You wrote the blinking things, you know?
Oh, Barry, I can totally relate because when the audiobook was produced, I had to listen to the whole thing. And I said, "Oh no, I'm going to have to listen to this whole thing again." I've read it so many times. Oh, what a slog. But there were times when I was listening to the narration that I started to cry, and times
I
that I
know,
started to laugh.
it's so true.
So
And you people say, what are you doing? You may, like they say to you, oh, is any of you in the book? Well, of course there is. I wrote it.
yeah, right.
I don't know about you, but even now I pick up one of the books and sort of start reading it, and I'm reading it. And where did those words come from? They're not words I use. I don't remember writing that. Do you come across that?
Oh, I do, because here's the thing. The characters sometimes take on lives
Callous.
of their own.
Yeah.
And that well, I can give you an example. There's a scene in the book, and I'll just be generic so there are no spoilers, but Barbara is in a situation where she feels uncomfortable, and she leaves very abruptly and gets in her car to drive home. And halfway home, she says, "Oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have left." And she turns around and goes back. And I swear, I had no idea Barbara was going to do that.
No.
I mean, she made the decision. She went back. I was like, "Oh, okay. Didn't know that was
Yeah,
happening."
I've been saying it for years and years on the show that it doesn't matter how much you plot the thing out. The characters are going to lead you different paths. Some minor characters, want more of a role. Some even demand their own book. And I remember we had a lady, and I've used this before on the show, but I wish I could remember her name, but she was like a historical romance writer, and we were talking about this, about the characters and the voice. To me, like, writer's block isn't writer's block, it's the fact that you didn't listen to the characters the day before and they've got the hump and they're not talking to you. I mean, that's what it is. But anyway, we were talking about this and about how the characters lead on, and this was, I think it was her 21st or 22nd book. She was quite well known, and she said, yeah, it happened in this book she'd just written. She said she tried to kill this character off 7 times. The character wouldn't die. She had to go back and basically rewrite the whole of what the book was going to be about because the character wouldn't die. And you say that to people, non-writers, they think you're mad. But it's not. It's just how it happens. You know, it's like they're in a parallel universe, and all we are is a conduit that types them out in this universe, sort of thing. Which scares me a bit, because I reckon one day I'm going to get a knock on the door, and there's going to be one of the characters there saying, "Look, I've been trying to tell you to finish this book off in this way, and you're not listening to me." But it's so true how it happens. It really is.
It is. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I know Alzheimer's is quite a big thing in the book and everything like that. Have you had sort of people who, mm-hmm. carers of people with Alzheimer's? Because to my mind, you get a lot of the books, you know, ways to make your life better and all, you know, seven ways of doing this, that and the other. I always say, because obviously we get people written books about abuse and everything come on the show. If you put that into a fictional book, into a character, and person reading that, they can relate to it. They put themselves into the position of that character, and they can understand and perhaps, you know, relate or even help them a lot more, because they're in the book, so to speak, rather than seven ways of making things better. Have you had people sort of mention that back to you about the whole Alzheimer's and caring thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, my own mother had Alzheimer's, and she actually inspired the character of Dolly, who's Barbara's mother in the book. And I've met with a number of book clubs, and I would say about half the people in these book club meetings have had personal experience with Alzheimer's, a parent, sometimes a spouse. I mean, even I was shocked to see how widespread it is, and again, how relatable to people. And I've become involved in an organization called All's Authors, which is an online resource there are, I think, something like 350 authors now represented in this nonprofit group, and all kinds of books, memoirs, caregiver guides, poetry, children's books, and of course, fiction. And it's a great resource for anybody looking for information. Of course, Stage 7 happens to be part of it. But they are a great resource. And I will say one thing, though. One thing that's been difficult with this book, with marketing the book, is that a lot of people see Alzheimer's and they say, no, I don't want to read that. You know, I want to be entertained. That's not going to entertain me. That's going to
depress
me.
Well, a lot of people are scared. That's right. Because people put, as you say, it's a way of life these days. You know, it's there before, but it didn't have a tag on it. Now everybody knows about it. I mean, my father had Parkinson's that went into Alzheimer's. And I know my mother, she did a lot of going around like Women Institute and that, giving, you know, little talks to it about it after he passed. And little things like, I remember she said she went to a place and about, you know, somebody asked her about tips and that. And she says, well, if they got that sort of thing, especially with the Parkinson side of it, and his husband or something like that, get them to make sure they wear a leather belt, so you can hold them and grab them going up and downstairs or what have you, to catch them if they stumble. And like using silk sheets to help them get in and out of bed and stuff like that. Simple things. But people say, well, crikey, I never heard of that before. What a good idea. But it's not. It's a simple thing. Anybody who's been through it, you pick up these sort of things.
Right. And there is a lot of help.
Indeed
so.
Thank
goodness.
A lot
of resources.
Now you've got stage 7 done. You've got another one on the way?
I'm so glad you asked, Barry. I have another book that's coming out from Touchpoint Press in October, another novel, and it's titled My Year of Casual Acquaintances. So it's a little bit lighter. I mean, it's also about a divorced woman. Who's about Barbara's age, but she's a very different person, and it's a very different kind of story. And it's a woman whose husband has ditched her for another woman after a long marriage, and she decides to change her life and start over and just not be committed to anything. She's just going to keep everything casual. And it's episodic, so every month we follow her through a different acquaintance that she meets, and she's moving from one to the next, trying to escape this painful divorce. But every encounter kind of has surprises in store for her, and hopefully surprises
Well,
for the reader.
I hope you indeed. From what you say, as obviously with the Stage 7 success of that, this one will be as well. But what also been a success is you being on the show today. It's been really enjoyed it. Thank you. But what I'm going to do now is actually hand
Thank
the
you.
Show over to you to have you tell
Mm-hmm.
everybody where they can find more about you and your book and even your plays.
Okay. All right. So the book, Stage 7, is available from Amazon and other major online retailers. It's in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook formats. And for the month of May, I'm running a paperback giveaway. So I will be mailing out signed copies to 10 winners in the U.S. So to enter, go to my website, ruthfstevens.com. And that's Ruth, F as in Frank, STEVENS.com. From there, just enter your email to sign up for my monthly newsletter, and you'll automatically be entered in the drawing. And again, that's ruthfstevens.com. Enter today, and while you're at it, just check out my website. So there's where you'll find links to my social media accounts and links to my retail pages and probably more about me than you probably care to know.
Well, Ruth, so. It's been...
So that's
Thank
my
you.
Pitch.
And Ruth, it has been great having you on the show. Good luck with this book. And perhaps when your next one comes out, you'll come back and chat to
Thank
us
you.
Again.
Oh, I would love to do that.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You so
Thank
much.
You. Well, there you go. My guest today, Ruth F. Stevens. And as she said, Ruth... and letter F for Freddie, and then Stevens with a V, and put a .com on the end, and that's her website where you find out more about it. Very interesting book. Lots, very interesting lady when you look and read all the stuff she's done. Well, that's it for now. I'll be back on Sunday with my two music shows. First of all, between 5 and 6 p.m. Those were the days. Music from the 20th century. I can tell you that the theme is condiments. You know, salt, pepper, all that sort of stuff. Think of the songs you can work out on that. And that is followed between 6 and 7 p.m. here on New Visions Radio with the Swinging 60s. Music from the 60s, not the British, just the British Invasion, but from around the world. And then, of course, next Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll be back with fresh guests here. But until then, as always, we have one thing left.